If you want to partner with us, you'll find information at the end of this podcast.
Okay, now we're going to talk more about cooking. Do you know when Jesus was baptized, out of the water he came, and what came down upon him? A dove. So a dove came down, this dove of peace, this dove that represents peace and new beginning. Okay? So, you know, Jesus came up out of the water and a dove descended upon him. Okay? You know, when we come up out of the water, what descends on us? Tongues of fire. So out of the water when Jesus came up was a dove of peace. And when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire. On the day of Pentecost, what came? A dove of peace or tongues of fire? So Jesus brought in a gospel of peace, and then he was the Prince of Peace. And we who have come in and been invited and adopted into the kingdom of God, we receive tongues of fire. So why do we receive tongues of fire? It's to burn up all of the chaff. When we pray in tongues, we declare war on everything that's inside us that doesn't represent God. Everything that opposes itself to the will of God gets burnt up with an unquenchable fire. God goes after it with fire. Every competing voice that is not lined up with the kingdom of God gets burnt out. Every competing affection that we have that doesn't line up with the kingdom of God, that opposes itself, that wants to get our affections on it, God burns it up with an unquenchable fire, with the tongues of fire. When we speak in tongues, we declare war on everything that doesn't line up with the kingdom of God. We declare war on everything that is not fruitful, everything that stops us from walking in freedom and liberty in the Holy Spirit. We declare war on that. The Holy Spirit does it on our behalf, goes after all of the imperfections and burns them up with an unquenchable fire. That's why we're on fire. That's why, you know, God is an all-consuming fire. He didn't have to burn up anything in Jesus at that time. When he started his ministry, Jesus was obedient. You know, everybody who starts their walk in the things of God has to go through the dismantling of themselves. You know, we talk about, you know, people being transformed so that they can actually participate in the kingdom of God. You know, no unrighteousness can line up with the kingdom of God. So God teaches us to walk in righteousness, which is best practices, okay? The best way of doing things. You know, so we walk in those best practices, but first we have to have dismantled the stuff that hinders us from walking in best practices. So God goes after them. And if we go after them ourselves with a whole list of do's and don'ts, then we have to police those things ourselves. And when we stop policing them, they just pop their heads back up. Because we haven't destroyed them. All we've done is just subdued them. We've suppressed them. We don't want to suppress our emotions, our fears, and our anxieties. We want to destroy them. We want to totally transform them so that our fears turn into, the Bible says, you know, love casts out fear. Okay, so love drives out fear. You know, forgiveness drives out hate and bitterness. You know, these things we transform ourselves into by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we try to do it ourselves, we just run aground and we just smash up and we run out of energy. You know, I know some people who are very intelligent, very capable people, and they have to go through a longer journey of transformation of self because they have a lot to undo. You know, and Jesus said, blessed is the poor in spirit. Okay? You know, God has to bring us to a place where we will accept His rule over us, where we will accept His dominion over us, where we will bow our knee to Him. And it's a process. Unfortunately, there's a lot of conscious things that we can give up straight away, but there's a lot of subconscious things that we have no understanding why we do things because of certain things, why certain buttons get pushed, and how they actually be there. We sometimes, when we get pressed beyond measure, we go, wow, I didn't know that, you know, that was in me. Well, the Holy Spirit is there to help us dig all of that stuff up and to reveal it unto us so that we can come into agreement with the Holy Spirit and say, I don't want that in my life. And so the Holy Spirit will continually praying, making intercession for us with groanings. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 8, 26. It says, for we know not what to pray for. You know, it's easy to get rid of smoking and drinking and all those other things, those outward things, those things from the surface. But the stuff that's deep down inside, we have trouble with. And all the Lord's trying to do is establish your heart in grace. All He's trying to do is replace all of the bad things that the enemy has put inside us, that are sown in us while we've been asleep, the seed of the enemy, which is the tares. We think that it's the tares is the bad sheep, or the goats and the sheep, the bad saints and the good saints, bad people and the saints, whatever. That's true. But there's also tares that are thoughts and ideas, concepts, doctrines that are not of the kingdom of God. You know, God doesn't want us to go and rip them out, right, out of people. He wants us to pray and let the Holy Spirit dismantle them through the power of God, through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, what we'll do is it's like going through a forest. You're hacking your way through the forest. You've got thorns and you've got thistles and you've got all sorts of dangers. And then you enter into a clearing and there's rest. And in that time of rest, in that clearing, you can rest and seek God and you can build yourself up and you can prepare yourself on your journey. And then He'll give you a compass heading and He'll say, I need you to go that way. And then you'll hack through another forest with thorns and thistles and all sorts of aboding things that come against you, that oppose themselves against the will of God, and with His power you'll hack through it. Then when you get through that part, then God will bring you into a clearing, a place of rest, a place of refreshingness, a place where you can replenish your supplies. Now, a lot of the time we will go through life and we'll have tribulation, persecution, and all of these things that press us beyond measure, and then we have a time of peace because we've stood with the Lord. And in that time of peace, we just kick our feet up and relax. And then when more tribulation, which is comes from the enemy, and we're not prepared, we haven't prepared ourselves, we crumble. And it's not the way to go. We need to understand that when we come into that place of rest, it's a time that where we come into an oasis, that we fill ourselves up with the water. That when we come into a place of plenty, that we make ourselves fat on the things of God, right? You know, there's a lot of people that make themselves fat in a natural sense, but God wants us to make ourselves fat on the things of God. He wants us to replenish and restore our supplies up, or replenish our supplies up, so that when things come upon us again, and the Bible talks about the ant, go to the ant, the sluggard, and see what he does. In the summer, he goes and he gathers so that when winter comes, when it's hard, cold, and harsh, he's able to last through the winter. The same thing with us. So I say to people, when the good times come, spend time with God as well. Don't neglect your relationship with God. Don't wait until you're hanging off the cliff by your fingernails to call out to God. If you actually replenish yourself in those good times, and you'll find that God will bring you into a place where you'll go, there'll be places of plenty. That's talking about blessings and peace and joy, and there are places of pressing, places of turmoil. But because you've restocked in that clearing, when you move into that forest that you have to hack through, it's a breeze, because you're walking in the power of God, and God is holding you in His hand, and He carries you in His grace, and His grace is sufficient for you. You know, Paul said, "Look, Lord, I'm sick of these Jews chasing me from town to town. Can you do something about it?" He said, "I sought the Lord three times, and each time God said, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" He was trying to tell Paul that this is a natural occurrence. When you stand up for the kingdom of God, darkness will come after you. But you know, my grace is sufficient for you. It has the power and the ability to carry you through, and to carry you through in a greater capacity, not just to get through, but that you are more than an overcomer. So the key is, as God is dismantling all of the unrighteous stuff in your life, in the subconscious, when you come into a place of plenty, don't neglect God. Keep your prayer life up. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep reading the Word. And the best way to work is to set yourself a pattern and to pray and read. And then when calamity comes, you pray and you read, and your pattern doesn't diminish, right? You don't stop seeking God and start fighting the problem. You just continue seeking God, and God looks after the problem, and it works itself out, and you see the kingdom of God coming to your aid and dissolving the problem. Might take a day, a week, a month, whatever, but the thing is, you still stay in the rest, because you have kept yourself. You're not a Christian that just operates, you know, when you're hanging off the cliff, that's the only time you pray. You know, you need to be set a continual pattern of seeking God, not because you're hanging off a cliff, but because you desire to be with Him. You desire to be in His presence. You desire to be close to Him and to feed from the living Word, that Word which is the manna, which is going to sustain you, and there is rivers of living water flowing out of you continually, and they don't stop, because you walk. You're not a responsive Christian. You don't just respond to situations. You flow, whether it's a drought or whether it's a flood. You flow. Your tree is planted by the river, and its leaf doesn't go gray or brown in the drought. It stays green continually. So this is the way that we're supposed to go. But first, we need to get the monkey off our back. First, we need to go to God and say, "Get me free from all of this stuff." You know, if we can't be with you, we can't always be with you, but when we come to see you, we're happy to pray for people. We gather them around in the houses and we just pray for them. And I don't care if it's 5 or 100, we just pray for them, and God just sweeps through the place and gets people free. And we don't have to do anything, because all we've done is just get full of God in the time of plenty and in the time of drought. In the time where there's no water, the rivers are flowing out of us. When the time, when it looks like it's hopeless, we're walking in hope, because our hope is in Jesus and our faith is in Him. And it's not a hope. It's a sure foundation. We know God is going to come through, because He's come through time and time and time and time again. God doesn't let us down. We tend to let God down with our fears and our apprehension of what's going to come upon us. Don't fear any of that. The Bible says, and I'm talking about a person who's full of God. You know, the Bible always, when it references men of God. Okay? It's not talking about those who are chewed up and shriveled up. It's talking about those who are seeking God. It says, no weapon formed against you will stand. Seek God, get full of God, and no weapon formed against you will stand. So what weapon can there be? It can be poverty, sickness, mental turmoil, family, friends, life situations. It can be accidents. It can be all sorts of stuff. But no weapon formed against you can stand. It can be brothers or sisters speaking rubbish into your life. No weapon formed against you will stand if you delight yourself in God. When you come into that clearing and that place of safety and rest, delight yourself in God. And then when you go through that, through the jungle, through the woods, through the hard bits, right, then you're still delighting yourself in God. And nothing can harm you. You are more than victorious. But you have to set yourself a pattern. You have to set yourself, you have to be a disciple, which is a disciplined one. A person who wants to swim for the Olympics, they don't just step up to the block and start swinging their arms. They have done the hard yards over and over and over again, swimming the lengths of the pool, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, doing the turns. You know, because they've prepared themselves so that when they need to step up to the mark, they can get the job done. So if you continually act as a disciple, a disciplined one, right? You know, everybody brushes their teeth every day. And everybody knows that if you don't eat, you starve. So everybody gets up and they have breakfast. Everybody has a shower. You know, everybody has to sleep. Everybody has to have a relaxing time. Why do you do this? Because your life won't work very well. So why would a person not seek God, pray, read the Bible, spend some time in the presence of God so that they can have a wonderful life in the rest? Because God has provided a rest for us. And you'll read that rest, about the rest, in Hebrews chapter 2 and 3 and even 4. And it talks about God has made a Sabbath rest, or Sabbath, it talks about in the Greek. It's a Sabbath rest. It's a place of rest. And he said that the children of Israel, when they're in the wilderness, they would not enter into his rest because of their unbelief, their fear, right, as what was coming upon them. They were scared of the Canaanites and of the giants in the land of Canaan. And they said, they even in their estimation, they said, we're as grasshoppers to them. So it already sealed their fate in their mind. God said, I have a rest for you, but you guys won't enter in because of your unbelief. Therefore, they had to spend 40 years wandering around the desert. You know, so enter into that rest, but you can't do it by your own strength. The Bible says strive to enter into the rest, but you can't do it by your own strength. Your only strength that you need is to sit down and pray. The only strength you need to do is to actually be a disciplined one, to pick your Bible up and start reading. God will furnish you with the revelation. God will furnish you with the light. God will furnish you with the peace and the joy. You don't have to do it yourself. All you've got to do is turn up, right? All you've got to do is sit down and just spend an hour praying in tongues. And you'll find that after a while, that the peace will come. You know, we pray for people. One of the major things they say is, what happened? I feel absolutely peaceful. I say to them, how about your mind? And they say, I don't have any random thoughts. I've got just peace. And I say to them, how do you feel? I said, you know, a lot of people, what they do is they feel hot. And it's usually they're being healed or God's just burning up something inside of them. They feel light because some stuff that's been weighing them down has left. And they feel so light. Some people feel euphoric because the joy of God is over them so much that they can hardly contain it. You know, some people, they comment that since you prayed for us, our mind's just clear, and I don't have alternative thoughts that are not of God. I don't have all of these opposing thoughts, and I have all I can do is think of God, and it's just so such an unhindered walk, and they're full of joy, and they start praying and they start reading the Bible, and they just get more and more on fire. It's a great thing to see. So the Lord has given us an anointing to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. When we see people, they just cry their eyes out with joy, for that thing that's been dogging them, that's been tearing them up, is gone. And they experience total freedom from all of that turmoil and all of that distress, because we fought a war in the spirit and not in the natural. We don't give them a whole lot of programs. Think like this and do this, do this, and do this, and, you know, maybe your life will get good. No, we come at it with the presence of God, with the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. We come at it with the ferocity of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is far greater than the kingdom of this world. Okay, so that's all we do. That's all we do. And that's all you can do, is go before the Lord and let him transform you. You know, why would you go to a man to teach you about God when the Holy Spirit has been given to you to teach you about Jesus Christ, who is the express image of God the Father? So why would you go to man and have him be the sole teacher or the sole resource of God to you? Why would you do that? I mean, what if that man hasn't been praying enough? What if he is misrepresenting the Word of God? No, the Bible says that the true pattern is that we all go to God, we get fed of God, then when we come together, we have a revelation of God to speak to each other. That's the key. So we don't go to man to get a revelation from God or of God. We go to God, get a revelation of him and his kingdom and his operation, who he is and how wonderful he is. And then when we're amongst each other, we have a psalm, we have a song, we have a revelation, we have a word to speak to each other about what God has shown us, and we lift each other up. We speak unto each other exaltation, edification, and comfort. Right? It's not about one man leading 30 or 40 or 100 or 1,000. It's about everybody being led by the Spirit, encouraging everybody else. The Bible says we have elders, right, in the church, and they're there to watch the younger ones grow up in the things of God. You know, we're not like the Catholic Church, where we've got a hierarchy and that's it. There's the clergy, right, and there's the laity. We don't walk like that. We don't walk like there's the priest and there's us. There's the man who knows God. We don't know God. We're going to go to that man. No, it has been ordained that we would go to God ourselves and learn of him, and that he would take us aside and teach us of his ways, right? And then when we come together, we would have something to speak to each other in encouragement, or what we've learnt from God. And iron sharpeneth iron. We don't want to be spoon-fed by a man. We want to be Spirit-led by the Holy Ghost. We want to be led by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of life, right, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the key. Okay? There's the law. There's the law of the Spirit of life. And the law of the Spirit of life, in your reading, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, or verse 2, says, for the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life transforms a man or a woman so that they no longer walk in the law of the Spirit of death. That's no good. All we have to do is just go to God. We don't need to go to man. Now, sometimes if we don't If we don't understand things, you know, we go to each other and we say, what do you think about this? And, you know, we can't all receive everything from God in a moment. But the revelation that we all receive from God, we share with each other. And it's not an exclusive club of they're the teacher, I'm the pupil, and I have to listen all the time to them. No, we all go to God and we all learn of Him. And we're all, you know, the Bible always, it talks about the fivefold ministry as well. You know, He has given some apostles, prophets, they're for the perfection of the saints. Until we all come into the unity and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But God has set it up so that we have a personal relationship with God. We have a personal experience with God. And in that relationship is teaching, is protection, is love and nurture, is the whole nuts and bolts, everything. So, you know, that's the only way that we can walk in the things of God. That's the only way that we can participate in the kingdom of God. Because if we are led solely and wholly by another individual, we'll crash up. The only way to be safe is to go to the Holy Spirit and say, teach me of Jesus Christ, who is the express image of the Father. And in that is the treasure of all treasures, is to know Jesus Christ. That's the treasure. And you won't know Him through man and through his intellectualism. You'll only know it know Him, Jesus Christ, through a personal experience. And it's not a one little bit here and one little bit there. It's a holistic approach. I walk in the presence of God from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep. I feel the presence of God over me continually. I feel His presence over me. Sometimes I can hardly hold it, it's so strong. You may not be able to relate to that, but that's my life. And that's Donna's life. And when we pray for people, they speak about this. They say, I feel His presence over me all the time. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. That's an amazing dynamic walk. That's amazing dynamic walk for the children of light. It's an amazing life that we live in. If we just get out of that religion and that sphere of control and manipulation, and we walk in His marvelous light, and we're free, that's the key. Okay, well, I'll leave it there.
So if you'd like to help us out financially, then you go to the bottom of the page and click on support, and all the information will be there.